Well, good morning once again to all of God's people. Welcome to Christ Church of Grace. In a cold and dark world, it is such a blessing to have the light of the world by our side. So before we begin, let me share a funny story with you. So there's a story of this man that was involved, there was this heavy rainstorm that caused a flood, and this man was forced onto the roof of his own house. He prayed, "Oh Lord God, please, I've been a faithful servant. Save me with a miracle." Then later, a rowboat came by, and the person inside shouted, "Jump in, I can save you." The man replied, "No, no thanks. I'm waiting for God to perform a miracle." Then a motorboat came by. The driver yelled out to him, "Get in, the water's still rising." The man replied, "Ah, go on without me. I have faith that God will save me." And finally, a helicopter hovered overhead and dropped this ladder down for him. The pilot screamed to him, "Climb in, this is your last chance." The man yelled back, "I'm staying here. God will provide a miracle." Eventually, the water rose and the man drowned. When he got to heaven, he asked, "Lord, I had so much faith. Why didn't you save me?" The Lord replied, "What more do you want? I sent two boats and a helicopter." Yes, the Lord does work in mysterious ways, but sometimes he's very plain and obvious with us. So let's see how the Lord works in our lives. Turn with me to Mark 10. Mark 10, and we'll start reading in verse 46. Here we're going to read the story of a blind man receiving his sight. In Mark 10, we read, Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," Jesus said, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Let us pray. Lord, you are our only hope, and we look to you. We need you. You are our God and our Father. We know that you love us and that you care for us in your perfect in holy way. Draw us near, Lord. Let us hear your voice. Hear our cries and comfort us in our trials, and let your peace fill our hearts. We come to you, Lord, and we seek after you right here and right now. In Christ's name we ask and pray. Amen. We all need some type of miracle. Something that only God can do in our lives. So my point for you today is this. I need a miracle. You need a miracle. And God responds to our desperate faith. I need a miracle. God responds to our desperate faith. That is precisely what God does. He responds to our desperate faith. So how does this miracle come to us? How do we receive it? Well, first off, we must come to God. Back in our text in Mark 10, they said that a blind man, Bartimaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. Yes, then when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." You see, Bartimaeus was at a tipping point. He recognized that he had a need. He had a problem that he could not solve himself. And yet, miraculously, the answer was right in front of him. This was not a time for to be proper, to have proper etiquette when dealing with strangers. No, this was a time to be passive. This was not the time to be passive or be resigned to failure. No, this was a time of desperation. This was a time for boldness. This was a time for holy confidence. If the son of David wasn't hearing his shouts, then Bartimaeus was going to shout louder. He was going to be heard. "Son of David, have mercy on me," he cried out. In this statement, we see that he immediately recognized that the Lord's Messiah role was before him. The Lord, in his power and authority, was before him. And in that power and authority, he built a bold confidence. This was his call. "Son of David, have mercy on me." This was his prayer. And what is prayer but simply communicating with our God? This was his focused, his heartfelt, his desperate plea to his God. You see, real prayer begins with real desire, with real desperation. Even our Lord himself cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" In that moment, Jesus was experiencing the most excruciating pain imaginable, separation from the Father. The Father turns his face away from Jesus, and all the wrath and punishment that we deserve was laid upon him. Real desperation. You see, prayer for us is a personal response to a personal God, a God whom Jesus told us to call our Father. When those who trusted Jesus come to pray, we come to a Father. You know, even for me, some mornings it seems like I forget how to pray or what the point of prayer really is. But we need to realize that most of Christ's teaching on prayer was designed to help us to always pray and never to lose heart. Yes, we must remember that his ear is always open for us and that his eye is always upon us. Wherever we are, whatever we are doing, that is the place of sanctuary. That is the place of communion with our God. He is always ready and willing to hear our cries and fulfill our every need. In Matthew 7, we read about how generous our God is. In Matthew 7, starting in verse 9, it says, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you good gifts to those who ask him?" Yes, he is a generous God who always wants the best, the absolute best for his children. It is also important for us to recognize that even when we don't know how to ask, he understands and he meets us where we are. Yes, God goes the extra mile. And in Jesus, he perfects our prayers. He perfects our desires and our needs to fall in line with him. Back in our text in Mark 10, we read how starting in verse 49, how Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man. Cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. I can't imagine when they had the call, they said to cheer up, on your feet. You know, Bartimaeus may have suddenly felt his unworthiness to address Jesus in this moment. Doubt may have crept in. He may be asking himself, would Jesus hear me? Do I even deserve an answer? Yet nothing escapes our Savior's view or his ear. Jesus hears and stops for the one who calls out. Yes, he is listening for us to call on him. In John 16, it says, very truly, truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Again in James, you do not have because you do not ask God. God is listening, and he takes our prayers, our desperation, our cries, our imperfect cries, and hears and answers them properly. Jeff says, Charles Spurgeon writes on this very topic. He says, the Lord Jesus Christ is always ready to take the most imperfect prayer and perfect it for us. If our prayers had to go up to heaven as they are, they would never succeed, but they find a friend on the way, and therefore they prosper. In Christ, our imperfect prayers gain a heavenly hearing. Jesus sees Bartimaeus' cries as evidence of his faith. His repeated cries reflect deep trust in God's power and God's mercy, a faith that Jesus ultimately perfects to make him whole. Yes, true faith involves recognizing both who Jesus is and what he can do. Son of David, have mercy on me. We need to recognize who he is and what power he has as the Messiah, as our God, as our Lord. As we cry out at him, we also need to realize that struggle and resistance are normal. Yes, struggle and resistance are normal. They will come. Back in our text in Mark 10, it says that many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more. We cry out to God, but sometimes he does not seem to respond. We can become discouraged by our circumstances. We can become discouraged by people, and that can make us resistant from continuing to ask God. And how does God want us to respond to these situations? He wants us to keep asking, to keep shouting, to cry out louder. So don't be vague. Be specific. Don't be restrained. Be bold. God has ordained our feet to walk a path that we perhaps did not choose, but we know it is a path that he has walked before us. And on this path, we will never walk alone. We cry out to our God, never doubting that he will answer. And sometimes the answer is no, or even not yet. But the mere act of us coming to him should open our eyes and our hearts to his overwhelming glory. God loves when we sincerely bring our request before him. He is eagerly awaiting us. He is awaiting us to call him and to give us the desires of our heart. Those who would come to Jesus, call out to him, must set aside their own sufficiency. They must free themselves from every weight and the sin that binds them. They must throw their cloak aside, jump to their feet, and let nothing stop them from reaching their goal, their one desire. Yes, God is the goal. He is the answer, and persistence will bring that answer that we're seeking. Persistence will bring an answer. Again, in our text in Mark 10, verse 51, it says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. You see, God is not looking for polite seekers. He's looking for confident. He's looking for bold and persistent seekers. When we look at those that have been persistently seeking after God, we're reminded of the widow's persistence in Luke 18, verse 1 through 8, how she kept coming to this unjust judge with her pleas for justice against her adversaries. And we saw how her nagging just irritated this unrighteous judge and caused him to give her what he want, what he she wanted. So does this parable not teach us that will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? That persistence that will so that we may receive our justice. In Luke 11, we're hearing the story about a man who receives bread from his friend. In Luke 11, starting in verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him." And suppose the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Jesus tells this story of a man who receives bread from his friend only because of his stubborn persistence. You see, sometimes the frustrations we feel, even in our prayers, are just mere invitations for us to keep on striving, to keep on seeking new every day, to keep on going. Yes, out of desperation comes the power of bold, persistent, and specific prayer that connects us with our Savior. He's looking for a desperate child who insists on being heard. He's looking for those who will, as it says in Luke, always pray and not lose heart. He's looking to find faith on this earth. There was the story of a woman who suffered from chronic bleeding for 12 years, and out of desperation, she believed if she could just touch the hem of his garment, she would be healed. And after she had done this, Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Yes, everyone who believes and asks receives. And the one who believes and seeks, yes, he will find. And to the one who believes and knocks, the door will be opened. In our prayers and cries to God, we seem to ask for too little. Our Father in heaven has withheld nothing from our grasp, not even his only son. Yes, it is by faith that we receive all of Jesus. And it's not by words, but it is with desperate faith that ultimately brings our miracle. I need a miracle. I know you need a miracle. And God responds to us with a miracle to our desperate faith. God responds to our desperate faith. This is a time of desperation, and real prayer begins with real desire, real desperation. So call upon the name of the Lord. Be persistent, confidently and boldly coming before his throne. Never doubt that he hears you and he will answer. And ultimately, it is our faith in the one, the only one that can save us, that brings our healing miracle. Lord, our prayers, our cries to you will never stop. You are our ultimate goal. You hold the keys to all of our heart's desires. Lord, thank you for the miracle of our lives and the salvation that we hold right now. You have done what we could not do ourselves. And yes, we have been healed, healed to the uttermost. Lord, yes, we believe. We believe you for it. We believe in you and your plan for our lives. So hold us close and never let us go, Lord, for you are our God. You are our Savior. You are our Lord. Amen.